The psalmist David in Psalm chapter number 4 said, "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity? And how long will you seek after leasing?" I had to look that up again last night. The memory's not what it used to be, but that leasing there is talking about lying, talking about bearing false witness. Can I tell you something? Listen to me carefully. Listen to me real carefully right here. My wife said, "Honey, don't you get political. It's too late for that." But I'm going to tell you something right now. When the same event, when one event happens, and one side tells it one way, and another side tells it the other way, somebody's lying. You know what's happened in Iran? Listen to me. There's hope, Brother Grissel. There's a people over there that's realizing this morning they've been lied to. Let me tell you, one of the saddest things I can think of in this world is for somebody to die without Christ because they've been lied to. I'm telling you, in pulpits all across America and around the world, these people that are preaching a gospel that don't line up with this Bible are going to give an account one day for lying to people. Telling people if you'll give, if you'll be baptized, if you'll sign this card, if you'll join this organization, if you'll stop doing this and start doing that. I'm going to tell you something, honey. Without Jesus, you'll bust hell wide open. I didn't say without the Baptist. I said without Jesus. You'll bust hell wide open. Every one of us has got friends and loved ones that need the truth. They don't need somebody to lie to them. They need the truth. The Word of God said, "But know, the Lord has set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him." Our text last week and Wednesday night as well is found in verse number 4. The Word of God said, "Stand in awe and sin not." I want to say something this morning. I didn't mean to say this, but I can't help it. Brother Joe just showed me an article a while ago. Did you say, who was that wrote that, brother? Your son? Your nephew. Okay. His nephew wrote an article and he showed it to me. I didn't have time to read it, but I will read it later. Years ago, my pastor that I was saved under, Brother Bud Wishon, was walking through the Atlanta airport with his daddy, Brother Woodrow Wishon. And Brother Bud was a good preacher. But don't tell Brother Bud I said this. I'd rather hear his daddy preach any day. I tell you what his daddy would do, Brother Ralph. He'd stand and preach, and when he really got into it, his hands would go right here. And he'd begin to do this with his breeches legs. That's what he'd do. Now listen to me. When his pants cleared the top of his socks, he was about ready to get in the glory. I'm telling you, he was a preacher. They was walking through the Atlanta airport. This has been years ago. And two men was loving on one another in the Atlanta airport. And Brother Woodrow said to Brother Bud, he said, "My Lord, son, did you see that?" You know what he was doing? He wasn't standing in awe that moment of the Savior, but he was standing in awe at the wickedness of mankind that somebody could publicly... The Bible said, "Stand in awe and sin not." I want to say this morning. I believe one of the reasons wickedness is taken over, it's because there ain't enough of God's people standing in awe of the Savior. Listen to me this morning. We're going somewhere. This generation just continually getting worse and worse and worse. But I want you to know something. He's coming. They didn't believe in Noah's day, and that's where we'll be going after a while, that judgment was coming. They didn't believe it, but thank God there was one man that believed it. There was one man that got his family ready. Judgment was coming. The Bible said, stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still, Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart more than in the time that their wine, their corn and their wine increased. I'll both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. You can be seated this morning. Please pray for us. Father, I thank you for the privilege today to stand and open the Bible. Lord, I know today that you'll direct our hearts. I'm confident of that. I pray, Lord, that you'd give me, Lord, the words that be pleasing in thy sight. I pray, God, the Spirit of God would anoint the preaching. I pray also, Lord, that the Spirit of God would anoint the hearing of thy precious word. Our people that are sick, our Lord, I pray you'd touch them. Our people that are grieving, our Father, I pray you'd touch them. I pray, Lord, that you would touch our country. Lord, I pray this morning for the people of Iran. Lord, I realize that many are deceived. Father, I pray that some way they get a little taste of something called liberty. Lord, maybe some of them get a taste of the liberty that can only be found at Calvary. Lord, I know that many in this world are steeped in a false religion. But Lord, you're still God. And Lord, you can still call them out. We ask you, Lord, to call. Knock at their heart's door. Help us today in this service, our Father. Speak to that one, our Lord, that's nearest the damnation of hell. I pray, Lord, today that you'd show us your will, show us your way, in Jesus' name, amen. Look at the text with me this morning. I want to try to be a blessing to you today. I want to call your attention to three things here that the Lord spoke to my heart about last night. This standing in awe of our Savior. First of all, I believe it's somebody that's willing to trust him. I didn't write these things down, and there's a reason for that. Last week, I did something that I haven't done in a long time. I've told several people, not many, but a few. I came to the pulpit without an outline. All I had was the Lord and a thought on my heart. This morning, I really don't have an outline, but there are three words the Lord showed me in the text that he dealt with my heart about. When he's talking about someone that will stand in awe, he's talking about someone that will trust him. Boy, I'm glad I trusted him. I'm glad the Bible said here in verse number 5, offer the sacrifices of righteousness and put your trust. Does it say in the Baptist church? Does it say in the Catholic Church? Does it say in the Muslim religion? Does it say to put your trust in Buddha? No, it says to put your trust in the Lord. Someone that stands in awe this morning is someone that has learned that there's somebody in the middle of a mess that you can trust, and that's Jesus Christ the Lord. Secondly, I believe that if we're going to stand in awe, not only do we find an individual that can trust him, David knew what it was to trust the Lord, but we find an individual that knows what it is to talk to him. You say, preacher, that's just so elementary. Then why ain't we doing it? How much time did you spend last week talking to Jesus? Talking to the Lord. You say, preacher, this world's in a mess. Well, the only hope is to talk to the one that can do something about it. Amen. I believe with all of my heart, David knew what it was to commune upon his bed. He knew what it was. The Word of God said in verse number 1, hear me when I call. I'm telling you, beloved, when you go into that Old Testament and you look at men like Noah, like we're going to look at this morning, you look at men like Abraham, they knew what it was to build an altar and get a hold of the God of heaven. Somebody said, boy, I'd like to see some more of that old time meeting. Well, we need to have that old-time meeting we used to have outside that church house, that old-time prayer meeting. Say amen. Both individually and collectively, that old-time religion. Hear me when I call. The Word of God said, O God of my righteousness, thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. How many believe he's still hearing prayer? He's still having mercy this morning. Still having mercy upon us. And then not only is it an individual that knows how to trust him and an individual that knows how to talk to him, but this person that stands in awe is an individual that knows how to triumph in the Lord Jesus. You remember the Apostle Paul said, thanks be to God. Now listen to me. A lot of people would walk up on the Apostle Paul when he was laying there. He had been beaten so badly and left outside the city for dead. They'd say, you call that triumph? When Paul raises up, I believe he counted it all joy. You go visit with Paul down there in the Philippian jail when he's down there with Silas and his back is bleeding and they're singing and they're praying and they're praising God at midnight. Some might say, you call that triumph? I'm telling you, beloved, listen, it wasn't what going on around them that caused them to triumph in the Lord. It was what was going on the inside of them that caused them to triumph. Paul said, thanks be to God, which always causes me to triumph in our Lord Jesus Christ. A night and a day in the deep. Perils of countrymen. One of the things that you see there in the life of the Apostle Paul, he said, in perils among false brethren. Oh, dear Lord. Paul knew what it was to suffer emotionally, spiritually, physically. But he said, there's a God in heaven that always calls. You don't want to know why he could say that? Because he believed Romans 8:28. He said, and we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. He was called, Brother Rose, to suffer. When God called him to be the apostle to the Gentiles, he said he's going to suffer. He had caused much suffering and persecution. And now he was going to suffer. You know what he had to say about that? He said, for I reckon. That's what makes me think that Paul was from Tennessee. He said, I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us. Sister Theresa, Paul believed, one day I'm going to walk on streets of pure gold. One day I will. I'll see his face one day. That kept Paul going. There's a man here that knows how to triumph. He said, Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. He said, thou hast put gladness in my heart. David's going through it. David's in a valley here. David's in a trying time. But there's a God in heaven that's causing him to triumph, even in that trying time. Let's go look, if you will, turn back with me to Genesis chapter 6. We used several examples. I don't even know if I can remember them all. We started with Adam, how that Adam must have stood in awe when God put him to sleep. And Adam woke up and there was Eve, his precious bride. I'm telling you, beloved, listen to me. I believe it's good to get in the Bible and then meditate. The cow chews the cud. It kind of burps it up a little bit and then chews it again. And I tell you, I believe that's good for God's people, just to get in the Word of God. We don't need to let our mind go places it shouldn't go. But beloved, I'm telling you, it's been helping me. I never had even had the thought before. When Adam opened his eyes, do you know what he saw? A perfect woman.
You know what he saw? A perfect gift from God. I tell you, beloved, listen. He saw the goodness of God. Everything God did, he said, is good. It's good. It's good. He made a man. It's not good for man to be alone. So he made him a woman. And Adam stood in awe. But I don't know how long, but later Adam would sin. The Bible said to stand in awe and sin not. Now Adam's hiding. Don't want to preach the message over again. But listen to me. I believe Joseph was another example of a man that knew what it was to stand in awe. I believe last Sunday night we talked about David and what it was when he stood in awe. And then on Wednesday night we got into David's life, what it cost him when he didn't stand in awe. Amen. And how that we can practice. Let me just say this for those of you that were here Wednesday night. I'll tell you how you can stay in tune. Like David learned a lesson. And that David later in the book of Psalms, he says, search me, O God, and try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. I'm going to tell you something, beloved. David said, I've been down that road once. I don't want to go again. I want to lay on my bed. If there's something I need to get right with God, I want God to show it to me. Because I want to stand in awe of the God of heaven. As we go back this morning to the book of Genesis, turn with me please to Genesis chapter number 6. I'll try my best not to be before you too long, but I want to share the thought that's on my heart this morning. We're looking at a man that's called upon. Noah is called upon. Listen to me carefully just a moment. To build a boat that's over 1.5 football fields long. 17 inches is what the cubit was to the people of Israel, to the Hebrew cubit. It was different for the Egyptians. It averaged somewhere between 18 to 21 inches, depending on what nationality you were talking about. And God gives the dimensions. It's 50 foot. I believe, Brother Richard, that ladder we bought is 12 foot, so that ceiling right there is probably about 15 foot. Let me hold my hand up. The top of my hand right here is 8 foot. That'd be pretty close. That's probably another 6, 7, about 6 foot, Brother Richard. Nod your head if I'm right from there up. So that's about 14 foot. So you'd have to go 14, 28, 42. You'd have to go about 3.5 times the height of that ceiling to get the height of the ark. It's 80 to 85 foot wide, 510 feet long. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? 3.1 million board feet of lumber. A board foot, if the board is an inch thick, it's a foot wide and a foot long. If the board's 2 inches thick, then it's 6 inches wide and a foot long. Is anybody getting that? That's what you call a board foot. How about 3.1 million board feet to build the ark? Now, I don't know about you, but I believe when God spoke to Noah, I believe Noah stood in awe. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Just looking at the plans. There ain't nothing like that ever been built before. Let me tell you this. Had no rain ever come before. God had watered the earth with the mist from the ground. But you want to know what you're going to see here in this story? I love the Bible, don't you? You're going to see a man that knows how to trust God. You're going to see a man that knows how to talk to God. You're going to see a man, beloved, that knows how to triumph in the Lord. I'm telling you, when the flood was covering up the multitudes, Noah was riding on top. I'm going to tell you something right now. Why? Look what the Bible said. Look in verse number 8. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I want to tell you something this morning. If we do any bragging this morning, it ought to be on Jesus. It hadn't ought to be on us. I'm going to heaven. One day, Sister Theresa, my feet are going to walk on streets of pure gold. But it's not because of me. It's because of Him.
I'm telling you, beloved, the Word of God said Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And that's the only reason you're going to heaven. It's because you found grace in the eyes of the Lord. You say, preacher, what about the setting here? Well, look at verse 5. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Let me ask you something. Do you believe God's got his eyes closed today? Do you believe God sees it today? Do y'all understand that the Bible teaches that never again, that's what the rainbow was for, to remind man and to remind God that never again would the earth be destroyed with a flood. But if you'll go to the book of Peter, I believe it's 2 Peter, the Bible said the earth and the heavens are going to melt with fervent heat. I'm telling you, judgment's coming. It's not going to be in the form of a flood, but it's going to be in the form of a fire. Judgment's coming. Judgment's coming. Just like in Noah's day, when people looked at him like, you silly old man. I believe it had to be hard on them boys at times. Say amen. By the way, God give me something right there. This would be good for our young people. You want to know the difference between them boys and the rest of the boys? They is busy doing something for God. You want to stay out of trouble as a young person? You get busy doing something for God. Amen. We're living in a generation, beloved, listen, where all they got time for is Facebook. Ain't got no time for God's book. You get busy doing something for God, and it'll keep you out of trouble. Serve the Lord. There's his boys. Their wives. I'm telling you, beloved, judgment's coming. But there's one man that trusted God. There's one man that talked to God. And there's one man that's going to triumph in the Lord. The Bible said God saw the wickedness of man, that it was great in the earth. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth. You see, there's a big change taking place from when he made Adam, when he made Eve. Because I believe not only was Adam pleased that day, I believe when God said, hey, it's not good for man to be alone, and he made that woman, I believe God was so pleased with what he had done. Don't you? Amen. And now everything's going backwards. The Word of God said his heart's only evil continually repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth. And he grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing, the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Listen to me. If you've been watching the news, you know that Australia's in trouble. You say, preacher, why would you mention that? Well, they're talking about the millions of animals that have lost their lives. Not only is mankind, beloved, listen, going to die in the flood, but millions upon millions of animals are going to die in the flood. You say, preacher, it's bad. Australia's on fire. Let me ask you this. How bad is it going to be when one-third of the earth's on fire all at one time? That's just in the great tribulation, beloved. You say, preacher, I don't believe that. You better. One-third of the water supply is going to turn to blood. There's going to be pestilence. There's going to be plague. There's going to be death. God said, stand in awe and sin not. The same God that told Noah, judgment's coming, has told you and I. Noah didn't have this whole book, Brother Ralph, but we got it from Genesis to Revelation, and he's told us, my spirit's not always going to strive with man. There's coming a day, beloved, God will quit knocking. There's coming a day when God will say it's enough. There's coming a day when judgment is coming. I believe the Bible said here, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Verse 9, Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. There's two types being given in the Old Testament here. Enoch is the type of the church. He's delivered from the judgment. Noah is the type of Israel.
Israel is delivered through the judgment. Beloved friend, listen to me. Tribulation's coming on this world. You say, Pastor, where are you going to be? Gone. Because, beloved, he's coming after me. He's coming after every blood-washed believer. I'll be gone. But Israel will be here. Israel, just like some of the Iranians today, realizing they've been lied to. In the middle of the tribulation, beloved, when the abomination of desolation takes place, Israel's going to realize they've been lied to. They're going to realize that Jesus is the Savior. He is the Redeemer. And the Word of God said, and so all Israel shall be saved. Beloved friend, the earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. God looked upon the earth. Behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted its way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence. You say, Pastor, do you believe Noah stood in awe? Yes, I do. Look with me, Will, if you will, please, at the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11, for just a moment. Hebrews, chapter number 11. The Word of God said in Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 7, by faith, Noah, being warned of God. I just want to say something this morning. Listen to me. I'm trying to be polite, but I'm going to say this. When preachers preach judgment's coming, everybody don't like it. I said everybody don't like it. But when a preacher preaches, Brother Rose, that judgment's coming, he's no different than God himself in the life of Noah. God warned Noah, judgment's coming. And the Word of God said, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, the Word of God said he moved with fear. He prepared an ark to the saving of his house by the which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, the righteousness, which is by faith. This morning, the best friend you ever had in this world, somebody that'll tell you the truth. When your mom or your dad is trying to warn you, it's not because they hate you, it's because they love you. And many times I'll get an amen out of some moms and dads and mamas and papas. We've already made the mistakes. Help me this morning. And we don't want our youngins to have to make them. Amen. Yes, God is a forgiving God. That's what we said about David. But the consequences live on. I said the consequences of sin live on. We can choose our sin, but we cannot choose our consequences. Beloved friend, this morning, Noah, he was warned. Noah stood in awe. I believe as that boat went up, going up 50 foot, going out a football field and a half more, a football field and a half would be 450 feet. So it's actually another 60 feet past that, 85 feet wide. I believe Noah was just amazed. I believe he stood in awe. I believe the boys, I believe the bigger it got, Brother Preston, the easier it was. Because they said, boy, this is big. I'm telling you, God has told Daddy to do this, and it must not have always been easy. I'm sure they were mocked. I'm sure they were made fun of by those around them. What are you doing? Well, we're building an ark. Why are you doing that? Because God told us to. Well, why did he tell you to? Because he said it's going to rain. What? Rain? And beloved friend, let me tell you something. I believe the more they got involved, the more they stood in awe. But I'm going to tell you, there come a day. Now you listen to me. I never even thought about this before. How many animals goes in? Does anybody know? Huh? Seven of every clean beast, right? And two of every unclean beast. Of the birds, seven. I picked that up last night. I didn't realize all, because some of the birds are unclean, but it said of the birds, the fowls of the air, they went in by seven. Now, let me ask you something. Y'all remember the Bloomingdale Parade, don't you? Did anybody get to go or see the Bloomingdale parade? Maybe see a video of it or something? Well, now that's just a little old parade. I wonder what Noah's parade looked like. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm talking about, beloved, listen, God was trying to get people to stand in awe when just the animal kingdom was doing exactly what God wanted them to do. You say, preacher, you got any Bible for that? How about this? The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. God was showing them his glory. God was showing them he was in control. And they're marching into the ark. I don't know how long it took. But God, I believe that Noah's sons, what, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, is that how you say that? I believe they must have said that. Boy, you ever seen anything like this before? I've often said that God is so in control of nature that he told the fish one night when the disciples were sleeping to go on that side because there's fishing on this side. And the next morning he said, now get on the other side. And he told them where to throw the net. And they got in the net. You say, preacher, you think God can talk to fish? Ask Jonah. The Word of God said God prepared that great fish. You can call it a great fish, call it a whale, whichever you want to, you'll be right. It was a great work of God. And here in the Word of God, beloved, the animals are marching by. I believe Noah's wife is standing in awe. I believe Noah is standing in awe. I believe his boys are standing in awe. I can't remember, but I think it was, let me see if I can look this up real quick. I don't know if I can, I thought this was interesting. Let me see if I can look it up. I may not be able to find it. Okay. The ark would hold 450 semi-loads. 450 semi-trucks. That's what it would hold. That's a bunch. It took a bunch of feed. Say amen. God knew what they needed. I believe there was another time when somebody stood in awe. And that's when God told Noah and told his family. Listen, I love this. He didn't stand out here and tell them to go in. He stood on the inside and said, come in. Come thou in. And the Word of God said, somebody shut the door. Does anybody know who shut it? God shut the door. I'm going to tell you something, friend. Listen, the door's open today. Thank God we're still living in the age of grace. We're praying, Brother Kenny. We're praying, Sister Megan, that some of them folks, honey, that don't know Jesus will come to know him before it's too late. The door is still open! But I'm going to tell you something. Anybody that's got an ounce of spiritual discernment knows the door is getting closer and closer to the day when God said, that's it. My spirit will not always strive with man. And I believe, beloved, listen, they stood in awe. Let me ask you something. How many could see the boys and see Noah on the inside? Listen to me carefully. The Word of God said that Noah walked with God. And Brother Rose, he didn't quit walking with God when God shut the door. I believe it got sweeter. He can rest now, brother. He's been working, by all accounts, about 100 years. He's been working and building on that ark. Now, there's going to be work to be done while that ark's floating. Don't get me wrong. You still got to, if you ever get a chance to go to Kentucky, just go. I'm telling you, at least it will give you something to think about. Amen. Just go. I beg you, go if you get a chance to go. You'd love it. Somebody said this. There was a little sign. I took a picture of it. It said, if I can convince you that the flood is not real, then I can convince you that hell is not real. Can I tell you this morning, that's exactly where a lot of people are sitting in this world. Oh, Chuck Todd. I got a little article. Somebody sent it to me. Said that Trump supporters believe in fairy tales, so they like believing lies. And he said this, like Noah's Ark. I'm going to tell you something right now. His day's coming. The ark is not a fairy tale. The Bible's not a fairy tale. The judgment of God that's coming upon this world is not a fairy tale. And God is wanting somebody to stand in awe. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? God made a way for Noah. God made a way for his wife. God made a way for his children. And thank God at Calvary, he made a way for you. And he made a way for me to escape the judgment. I'm wondering, Noah's inside. I'm wondering. I don't know, Brother Rose, how thick it is. It's pitched, I know, within and without. I know it's not going to leak, so it couldn't be an air mattress that was made in China. Y'all get that after a while. You go to bed puffed up and wake up flat. Amen. I knew about the air mattresses when I was on the road with Rock of Ages. I had one that would hold air. One. But I've got grandchildren. And they decided that it was fun to get way up there and jump. And it couldn't stand the pressure anymore. This ain't going to hold water. But I wonder. Maybe they couldn't hear through, but there's a window around the top. Maybe they go up to that upper deck, Brother Anthony, and they're hearing the screams. It's raining now. You say, preacher, you shouldn't let your mind wander like that. I'm going to tell you something right now. If you could turn your ear into hell for just 30 seconds, you'd understand that people that don't escape the judgment of God are screaming. They're weeping. They're wailing. I can hear youngins saying something like this, Daddy, 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 you said that old man's crazy. Am I right? Daddy, you said he lost his mind. Daddy, you said we don't have anything to worry about. Now they're headed for the hills, they're headed for the roofs, they're climbing trees until finally at last there's nowhere else to go because the rains are coming down and the floods are coming up. God opened up the earth and the fountains of the deep broke up. And suddenly a multitude of people realized they were on the wrong side of the door. The same door, Brother Larry, that shut them in was shutting the others out. Yeah. You know what I believe? I believe if we're not careful, Brother Rick, we'll get to the place where Noah's Ark, we no longer stand in awe. Oh, we've heard it, and we've heard it, and we've heard it, and we've heard it, and we've read it, and we've studied it, and we've heard it. How we ought to stand in awe. That God. You say, let me just give it to you like this. Without the story that I just read, we wouldn't be. Did y'all realize that? We wouldn't be here. But God found a man that found grace. Found a man that was righteous in the eyes of the Lord. Found a man that believed God. A man that trusted God. A man that talked with God. And a man that right now, while others are being swallowed up, is on top. I don't know what it was like. I really don't. I'm imagining, Brother Ralph, there's always been something about God's people and singing down through the years, ain't there, Brother Ralph? Don't you imagine that Noah and his family sang a little bit in that ark? Don't you imagine when they sat down to a meal, Brother Ralph, they didn't find it difficult to bow their head and thank God that they had been delivered from judgment Thank God for the meal that was in front of them. Thank God for their wives. Thank God that he cared enough about them to make them a way to escape the judgment that came upon the earth. Beloved friend, this morning, listen, judgment's not a pretty topic, but it's a Bible topic. And I'll just say this morning. I won't start calling names. I'd hurt somebody's feelings. But there's a whole lot of preachers on the radio and on the television that will never warn anybody of the judgment. They'll grin from ear to ear because somebody's padding their pockets with money. They can buy them another airplane and build them another runway. But I'm going to tell you right now, God's men will preach the whole counsel. They'll tell you the good, and they'll tell you the bad. Years ago, I was chasing a guy, and I tripped and fell. And when I fell, I had some gravels embedded in my knee. I went home, my jeans were torn, and my knee was bleeding. I mean, it was bleeding good, so to speak, or profusely. And my dad hollered at my mama, said, "Honey, bring me some of that peroxide." Mama come out and said, "We ain't got none. All we got's this alcohol." Now, I believe that when Daddy poured that in my knee, I believe I could have passed a motorcycle running. But it got better quickly. The only thing that's going to help mankind to get better is the truth. The only antiseptic for sin is the blood of Jesus. And this morning, God is looking for a people that'll quit reading that Bible and it just be all humdrum and dull. But it will stand in awe. Think about if you were Noah. If you were Noah's wife. Think about Charity, if Sawyer, one of your boys, was going to be spared because there was a God that loved him enough to warn him of the judgment that's coming. Do you know him this morning? I said, do you know him this morning? How many believes he's coming? How many believes he's going to take us away? How many believes judgment's coming upon this earth? Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you this morning for the Word of God. Lord, I'm glad that David put that in the Bible, stand in awe and sin not. Commune with thine own heart upon thy bed. Be still. Be still. Lord, in the stillness of the invitation this morning, I pray, dear God, that you speak to hearts. Lord, I know today that the preaching of the cross is not popular. The preaching of the judgment that's coming upon this world is not popular. But Lord, it's the truth. I pray, Lord, you'd help us to be loyal and faithful to the truth. Lord, I pray you'd speak to hearts this morning. Speak to hearts, I pray.